Hey, good morning, everybody. So good to be with you again this morning. Thanks for joining into our live stream broadcast and watching with us. It's been a really, I know it's been a crazy time during this COVID-19 lockdown, but it's been really amazing how we've advanced the viewership and our technology and all that kind of stuff. It's just been really cool to see what the Lord's done through this, and I appreciate your involvement and your response. So today, we're going to do a two-part thing. I'm going to start the first part this week and deal with the next part next week, bringing us to Pentecost, because next Sunday, May 31st, is Pentecost Sunday. So this Sunday, I want to deal with the concept of the ascension, where Jesus rose from earth and ascended to heaven after his resurrection from the dead. And then next Sunday, we'll deal with where he sends the Spirit down to his disciples, okay? But I want to deal with one word today, and that word is access. And I'm going to show you how the ascension opened up a new level of access for the people of God to the Father himself, okay? Have you ever wanted access to someone famous? I mean, have you ever just wanted to man, I would love to meet that one person? Well, Jackie and I and my family used to live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I remember when we first moved there that we were just moving in and all of our stuff was in boxes and everything, and we turned the television on and we saw the news flash that the inauguration was happening of the new president, and there was going to be an inauguration parade and all these festivities, and Jackie and I looked at each other and we're just like, let's go. So we ran, hopped in the car, drove downtown, found a place to park, and it was just like people everywhere and stands lining the major streets and everything. And then we saw that the parade was already happening. I mean, the new president was coming in a parade, and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to see him. We just got to get to one point and just see him. So we're running along the streets, and you just have to know my wife, she's like super bold. So she's like, Hans, let's just jump this barricade. Come on. And so she climbs over this barricade, and I'm like, okay. So I start to climb over the barricade, and sure enough, this guy in a long coat runs up. He's Secret Service, and he says, you can't do that. And I'm like, certainly it would be me that gets caught by the Secret Service. But he comes up, and he says, you can't do that. And I said, sir, we're just trying to see the new president. And he's like, everyone's trying to see the new president. Now get back over across the barricade. So we swallowed the humble pill, went back across the barricade, and had to find our way. Anyhow, denied access, man. We wanted to see the president, but we were denied access. Have you ever been there? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, and ascended to heaven, he opened up the door of access to the world. All who would come through him would have special access to God and the Father. So this is what's happening here. Acts chapter 1, let's read the passage of the ascension. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, being Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father he had talked about back in the book of John being the coming of the Holy Spirit, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Think about that. So here they actually were standing there seeing Jesus ascending into heaven. And they're standing there just like gazing, just like, wow. And then all of a sudden, these two angels were standing there saying, why are you gazing? This same Jesus that's going up, he's going to come back in like manner. So verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, and and they entered into the upper room. And while they were there staying, here they were, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all continued with one accord and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That's the ascension. It was the final, the parting of Jesus. Then right after that, the disciples went into the upper room and they began praying for the promise that Jesus had promised them. Hallelujah. You know, isn't it interesting that in that passage, they're wanting to know all the details of the end times. Hey, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom now? Is this when Israel's going to come back to power now? And Jesus said, listen, that's in the Father's hands, and don't be worried about that stuff. You go do what I've told you. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. So they go there, and they're waiting, and they're praying for 10 days, in a prayer meeting for 10 days, and then the Holy Spirit comes with power on the day of Pentecost. So what is Pentecost anyhow? Pentecost in Hebrew or in the Old Testament was the festival of weeks. So there are three major festivals in the Israelite calendar. The first is Passover, the second is Pentecost, and the third is the Feast of Tabernacles. Passover was the feast celebrating the Israelites being delivered from Egyptian bondage. And if you've ever seen the Ten Commandments or read the book of Exodus, you know the story. Israel was in Egyptian bondage for over 400 years. And God sent Moses as the deliverer to set them free, to go to Pharaoh and try to bargain their release. Well, finally, God shows up with plague after plague and mighty acts and signs and wonders and releases the Israelites. But the last act of God in the nation of Egypt was the Passover night, where God sent the death angel through the camp of the Israelites and then into the Egyptians and took out the firstborn of every family. And he instructed the Israelites, he said, now you gather in your homes and you shut the doors and you take the blood of a lamb and spread it over the doorposts of your house, so when the death angel sees it, it will pass over your home. And then you gather with your family and you eat a meal that I'm prescribing for you, and you keep your sandals on and you keep your staff in your hand, because you're going to be ready to bolt out of there at my notice. And so God passed over them and saved Israel on that night. And that's what the Passover was about. It was to be celebrated every year. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that in the New Testament that Jesus was crucified on the Feast of Passover. And now the blood of the Lamb of God was being shed for the sin of all the world. And now God is passing over those who have the blood of the Lamb of God applied to their heart. God is passing over them with his judgment and ultimate spiritual death. There's so many parallelisms, it's amazing. So then, 10 days or 49 days after that, 7 weeks plus one day makes 50, hence Penta. Pentecost was 50 days after the Feast of Passover. So what was Pentecost about? Well, first of all, Pentecost was about harvest. It was about the harvest. It was the first fruits of the grain harvest that was to be brought in. They were to have a celebration when that happened. That was the Feast of Pentecost. And isn't it interesting? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, God sends his Spirit so that the apostles will go and begin a great harvest of souls, reaping the nations for God. The parallelisms are amazing. But also, according to Jewish tradition, the Feast of Pentecost was also in honor of the giving of the law of the Old Testament. And if you look at those passages in the Old Testament where the law was given, Exodus chapters 19 and Exodus chapter 20, when you look at those passages, you'll see that Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, and while he was up there in the glory cloud receiving the commandments from God, no one else could approach the mountain. God told them, this is restricted access. None of the Israelites are to approach the mountain and touch it. It was a holy thing. It was restricted access. Only Moses could approach God. But in the New Testament, on the Feast of Pentecost. Now God is opening the door, and He's saying, now I'm sending you to all nations, and I'm opening up the access to my presence to all nations. Hallelujah. And then when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it's interesting that all of these different Jewish people from different nations of the world were gathered in Jerusalem. Again, the parallelisms are absolutely amazing. So what about this access, Hans? I want to talk about this for a few moments. If you're serving the Lord, and if you've given your heart to Jesus, you have special access to the throne room of God. It's like you have a VIP ticket. It's like you've been given special access. Have you ever gone to a concert or a show and had special VIP passes? I mean, I've only done that, I think, once in my lifetime. There was a band that my daughters and I loved to listen to, and so they came locally, and I was like, hey, let's get tickets. And when I was online ordering the tickets, I said, you know what? It's only a little bit more money to just get the VIP passes. So we got the VIP passes, and that meant we got like a special poster or something, I don't know. But anyway, we got to meet the band. And I remember us waiting in line being like, man, we're really going to meet these guys. This is super cool. And so we went up, we met the band, they were super nice, and it was like, yes, we didn't just attend the concert, we had VIP passes. This is what God is saying, I've done through Christ. It's not just that you're looking from afar now. It's not just that one priest can enter the presence of God one time a year for all the people. No, now I'm opening the doors of access to where anyone who is washed in the blood of Jesus can come into the very presence of God. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a shout amen in the chat room. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah or some fire emojis maybe for Pentecost. All right, access means three things to me, and I'm going to lay these out, and I really pray they're a blessing to you today. Three things access means. First of all, access means favor. Access means favor. If you have access, you have favor. Jesus came, took care of the sin problem, nailed it to His cross, and now has paved the way. Hebrews calls Him the forerunner. And now He's paved the way to the very presence of God. And so I was asking this question, what's different between now after the ascension and before the ascension? People prayed before. They prayed in the Old Testament. They're praying in the Gospels. But what has happened after the ascension that was different than before? And here's my answer. The difference is now Jesus has ascended to heaven and He's seated in a place of authority. And now because of His being seated in authority, now we have a different level of access through Him to the authority of God. So there's another measure of favor that we have because of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 says, through Him we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. It's like Esther in the Old Testament. The story of Esther is a beautiful story. In the story of Esther, the nation of Israel, the entire race of Jews, are in danger of being exterminated. But Esther has an in with the king. She's one of the new brides of the king of Persia. And he had a whole harem, and none of them could approach the king. And she was, in fact, the queen now in the kingdom of Persia. But even being the queen, she couldn't approach the king without him having requested her presence. But in order to save her people, she risked her life. And she walked into the royal courts one day and requested an audience with the king. And it's like when you read the text, you can feel the tension in the air. She walks into the courtroom of the king, and it's like silence. Is she going to be sentenced to death, or will the king accept her? Will she be beheaded right here, or will she get her request made known? And so lo and behold, the tension's in the air. She walks into the courtroom or into the courts, and then the king pulls out his scepter and extends it and stretches it toward Esther, and she's accepted. That was the sign of acceptance in the king's presence. The scepter was extended toward her, and then she made her request known. That's what happens when we come before God through Jesus, that the scepter of God, the favor of God, is extended toward us, and we have an audience then with the king. I mean, it's not like we're two people away from God or we're three people away from God. You know, I remember my daughter coming home from college and she said, "Dad, I just had this seminar. It was amazing. I took this seminar on networking. And the seminar taught us how we're only like three people often from someone famous, or you're four people from this person in business, and how you can network to get to know that person." And she was so excited because she said, I'm like three people from Justin Bieber. And I thought, okay. But anyhow, we're not just three people from God or two people from God. No, we have direct access right to the Father through Jesus, His Son. Hallelujah. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a statue. We don't have to go through some other form or some other ritual. We can go directly to God and make our request known. Come on, somebody can shout hallelujah and amen. So favor has been given to us. The second thing that access means is access means now we have boldness. We have boldness. If you have access, there's a certain boldness you have to be able to request things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Then he says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly. Why? Because we have a high priest who has ascended into the heavens. Notice the connection. Because Jesus has ascended into the heavens, we now can boldly come before God and make our petitions and requests known. John 14, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's like the blank check of prayer. Now we can come before God and ask whatever we will in His name. And He said it will be done of the Father so that the Son might be glorified. Hallelujah. Now that we have access, be bold and make your requests and petitions known. Years ago, I was interested in, I've been playing guitar for most of my life, but I was interested years ago in studying classical guitar. So I had a really good friend who was attending our church at the time who was a music instructor. He's a music director at a local middle school. And one day he invited me to go to this classical guitar seminar with him. And it was being conducted by one of the most famous classical guitarists in all the world. So we go to this seminar and we watched him instruct these high school students in classical guitar. And then during one of the breaks, my friend was like, "Hey Hans, come on." And we ran up, and here I'm just like trailing behind him. And we go up to this famous guitarist, and we meet him. I mean, it's like we had access to him. It was absolutely incredible. And we met this guy. And then my friend wasn't just satisfied with just meeting him. He just stepped his foot in the door and said, hey, would you play us a song?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe he just asked this dude this. Would you play us a song?" And the famous guitarist, he said, "You know what, man, I'm really tired and I've been teaching all day, but okay, I'll do something for you." And he reaches over and he opens up this guitar case and he pulls out this handmade custom classical guitar, fiddles with the tuning, and then starts the prelude to one of Bach's cello suites. And I sat there and I heard guitar like I'd never heard it before in my life. And I was just like, "Oh my gosh." And I just loved my friend for that he had his foot in the door and he just went ahead boldly and made a request. Come on, Jesus has gotten our foot in the door. Jesus has opened the door for us. Now just walk through that door and be bold and make your petitions and requests known. Maybe you were raised in a church that was like you had a view of God that He was like this far away deity that was so holy that we shouldn't approach Him and we shouldn't ask for anything. And it just maybe just a "Thy will be done in my life, God" kind of prayer. But you know what? That's not what the Bible instructs us. The Bible says we can ask and we can be bold and we can go before God, and that He actually takes delight in that. He actually takes delight in that. You know, he's like a father. You know how much we love it when our kids come up and spend time with us? And they'll ask us for things. And if we love our kids that much, how much more does the Heavenly Father love us? I love a story that I read in the Washington Post about Tad Lincoln. Tad Lincoln, of course, was the son of Abraham Lincoln. And he's often pictured with Abraham Lincoln at events and stuff. And the idea is that Abraham Lincoln would just take Tad along with him right into official events. He just loved his son and would carry him along with him. But the Washington Post said that Tad one time wanted to ask his father a question. And he had his little friend with him. His friend was named Gus, and he kind of wanted to impress Gus, I guess, too, with his dad and his access to the dad. So Lincoln was meeting with his Secretary of State, William Seward, and his Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton, and Tad Lincoln just burst right in the meeting. He burst right in the meeting and grabbed his dad and asked him a question and then marched out. And his little friend Gus, before they left, stopped and saluted the president. And after he left, one of the officials that was with the president said, "Mr. Lincoln, aren't you annoyed by these boys?" And Mr. Lincoln said, "Never mind them." He said, "It's just a diversion, and we need some diversions sometimes in the White House." I love it. It was like Lincoln loved it that his son could just barrel in and interrupt a very important high-level meeting and ask a question. And I think our Heavenly Father is much more like that. "Come on in," he says. "Come on into the throne room and ask what you want. Come on in and make your petitions and requests known, for it pleases my heart to do these things for you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come on in. No longer has access been restricted. I've given you a VIP ticket. Come on into the throne room. Come into the green room. Come into the green room where the important people come. Come into the green room. You have access to me. Hallelujah. So we have access to God, boldness and favor. There's one other thing that access means, and this is huge. Access means we now have authority, especially in the case with Jesus and his disciples and what he's getting ready to release into their lives. He says you have authority now. Because Jesus has gone and ascended up into heaven, now he sent his authority to the church, and he now wants us to act in his stead. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God now, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So now that Christ has ascended into heaven, now all the other authorities in heaven and earth below have been made subject to him. He's now reigning over them all. He's now reigning over them all. And you say, "Well, Pastor Hans, it's great that Jesus is reigning all over this stuff, but I'm still stuck down here on earth and I'm still wrestling with stuff." Yeah, but Paul says this. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:6. "And he's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So yes, we're still stuck down here on planet earth, but somehow positionally, we are seated with him now in heavenly places. And if we're seated with him in heavenly places, that means we are seated with him in his authority over all of the powers and principalities and spiritual rulers in heaven and earth below. Think about that. Yes, we're down here on planet earth, but we've been granted special access to the authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, says, "Behold, I give unto you authority. Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you said, "Yeah, but Pastor Hans, that was for Bible days, and now we're dealing with modern stuff, and it's not the same today." No, it's the same today. I had a mentor in my life named Elias Malky, who passed away and went to be with the Lord just a few years ago. But Dr. Malky would preach the gospel into the Middle East in the Arabic language. And he would always have people pray with him during his broadcast. And he would always pray for miracles to happen. And he would always call for salvation. And then often people would write him from restricted access countries. And when I mean restricted access, you can't go there and preach the gospel. They were restricted. And one young man wrote him from one of these restricted access countries and said, "Dr. Malky, when you prayed on the broadcast, I accepted. I'm a Muslim. And I was raised in a devout Muslim family. But when you prayed to accept Jesus, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And now He's the Lord of my life." How beautiful. And then he said, "And not only that, but my parents have accepted Jesus into their lives as well. And now our whole family have become Christians." And he said, "But here's the story. After I was saved, I told my parents that I'd now become a Christian. And when they heard that, they didn't really say anything to me." He said, "I thought I might have been, I maybe would be cast out of the house or they would come against it, but they really didn't." But he said, "Later on, I found out the whole story. And that was once they found out I'd become a Christian, that they met privately and they determined to kill me. And so they poisoned my food at dinner one day. And they said, I ate the food and nothing happened to me. So they went back and they increased the strength of the poison. And I ate the food again and nothing happened to me. And they said, evidently this God he is serving really is the true God. And they accepted Jesus into their hearts. So yes, you have power over all the power of the enemy. You have power over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. You have power over all the power of the enemy. He has given us access to his authority. He's given us access to his authority. We are commissioned to do the same works that Jesus did. It's interesting to me that we spend so much time on so many things in ministry that are not the focus of Jesus' ministry. Jesus said, "Preach the gospel, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons," and this is what the gospel preaching is about. It's about preaching and demonstration of his authority. It's what happened with Jesus. If you'll notice in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, and then at the end of chapter 7, it says, "And he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes or Pharisees taught." They were stunned by the authority of his teaching. But then Matthew chapters 8 and 9 talk about him healing a leper, casting out demons, calming the ocean or the sea that was troubled, and all of these miracles, 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 miracles. It proved his authority in action. So he had authority in preaching and authority in demonstration and in miracles. And you and I have the same access, the same VIP access to God that Jesus had. Now we can preach with authority, perform miracles with authority. God still heals the sick. He still raises the dead. He still cleanses the leper. He still gives the blind sight. And you say, "Yeah, but Pastor Hans, maybe in history those things happened." No, I was in a meeting not long ago, and I was on the stage playing the guitar with a group of guys, and there was a prayer line happening, and the evangelist, who was our good friend Ted Shuttlesworth, laid hands on this lady. And I saw him working with this lady a little bit and laid hands on this lady. After the meeting was over, my wife and I are standing in the foyer, and this same lady walks out. And she's looking around like this, and she's looking around. And my wife says, "Hans, what's wrong with that lady?" I said, "Jackie, that lady just received her sight. I saw her come through the line not being able to see. And after walking in out of the line and going into the foyer, she could see." And I asked Brother Shuttlesworth about it later, and he said, "Absolutely. She had never seen her grandkids. And after that night, God restored her sight and she could see her grandkids." Come on, you've come too late to tell me my God still doesn't do miracles. You've come too late to tell me that my God isn't still in the miracle-working business. He's still raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and giving sight back to the blind. Hallelujah. And now you and I have that kind of authority. Next level access to the power and presence of God. That's what the upper room is about. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what what the open doors to the nations is about. Hallelujah. God is empowering His church. I believe we're living in a season where we're going to see an increase in miracles and an increase in the miraculous as the gospel goes around the globe. Why? Because the time is short and His coming is near, and God is calling us to rise up in a fresh level of anointing and a fresh level of power and go do the works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give me some hallelujahs in the chat room. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray that God gives you boldness, that God extends His favor to you, and that God shows you the authority that you can walk in as a child of God. Come on, let's pray that. And then I'm going to close with a prayer for all of those who may be watching me who aren't serving the Lord and who've never accepted Christ into their heart. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers and sisters out there today, and I pray, God, that You let them realize the authority that You've granted to us through the Scripture, God, through the ascension of Jesus, the authority and access we have now. I pray You let it be a revelation to us today, God. Light us up. Show us, God, what authority we have, and let us start acting with that authority in the name of Jesus. Now, if you've never served the Lord or you've never given your heart to Him, come on, pray with me right now wherever you are. Just say it with me. Dear Lord, I repent of all my sins, and I accept Jesus into my heart. Come on, say it with me. And I believe that Jesus is the Lord, that He died for my sins, and that He rose from the dead, and now He is seated in heaven, ruling over all power. And I accept Him as my Lord, and I will serve Him from this day forward. Come on, in Jesus' name, I pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, if you prayed that, let us know in the chat room. Get on our website and let us know. There's going to be some instructions as to how to do that. Listen, I love you. Walk through the door of access you have to the Father. And we'll see you next week. We're going to be talking about Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit.